For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome back to Wrestling Made Me Cry. It took a little for the stream to start. My heart dropped a little bit, but it's okay. I don't know why it lagged for a second, but I was like, oh no.
Oh no.
Nothing went wrong. It just took a second. Yeah. Welcome back. I don't think it's a coincidence that we started this show and all of a sudden everything amazing happens.
I know. Look at us. Do you think that's going to happen? Not me, but it did.
We have quite an episode today. Of course, we're going to talk about the Mercedes Moné debut, which I loved. Mm-hmm. Shibata versus Danielson, which was announced 24 hours before it was live on television. Mm-hmm. Kyle O'Reilly, and you know, some other stuff. And we're just going to have a grand old time.
I am so into it. I am excited. How are you, Kylie, though? Tell me.
I'm good. I was on spring break this week. Most of you probably know that I'm a PhD student and I teach and I have a lot going on, but it was spring break. So you know what? I convinced myself that I was going to be productive. I was going to do things. I was going to get ahead of the game, and I didn't. I did none of that. I had a good spring break and I had fun, and that's what matters. I watched a lot of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Everyone can tell I'm on location and undisclosed in the middle of fucking nowhere. but technically my bachelorette weekend, I don't know. There was festivities to be had. Right on the water here. Technically, it's a little bay that's attached to a canal here in the Pacific Northwest. Literally, like, you're driving and the GPS is like searching, and you're like, oh, how am I gonna get there? But there's one road in and one road out. You can't miss it, and it's nice for the weekend, but
you couldn't do it forever.
Yeah, I couldn't. I got my non-wrestling friends to watch Collision last night, which was
sick.
Yeah. My sister was here and she works in the emergency room, and she goes, "Do you know how many people come in and they have wrestling injuries? They're either fighting or wrestling like a different wrestler." And I'm like, "They're probably really cool, aren't they?"
Ace says, "Isn't spring break banned in Florida?" Spring break isn't, but there are like a lot more restrictions now because, and I don't want to get all into it, but it was spring break, as in people coming to Florida for spring break, was during our state. Like, I'm not even joking when I say that we would spend the rest of the year recovering from one spring break. So It's not banned, but there's like restrictions and things like that. But no, we still have spring break. It's still happening. It's just that stuff.
Were you ever a spring break girly?
No, because it's honestly, it can get kind of disgusting. Like if you go to a beach on spring break, doesn't matter what beach, there's going to be way too many people. You're on top of each other. You're like waiting for space for volleyball, for sandcastles, whatever. And then people leave garbage everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so it's just not a good time. I wait until after spring break. I give it like a month. And then, and plus, honestly, in March, the water, it's kind of not warm. It's not cold. But it's like lukewarm, kind of disgusting. Yeah. Makes you feel like you're in a really tepid shower. It's not fun.
Yeah. So. I mean, I don't think the point of spring break is going in the water. I think it's has to do with a lot of drinking and debauchery.
Yeah, I know Miami Beach banned like coolers and all that kind of stuff because they didn't want you to bring that onto the beach. So you could basically just bring yourself. And I think that's why a lot of people are like, spring break is canceled. But you know what? You did it to yourselves.
Yeah.
Also, yes, Benny says happy St. Patty's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody who celebrates.
I forgot.
I want a green shirt.
Oh, see, I'm just wearing my wrestling wind down shirt of, but Daddy, I love indie wrestling. So
I love indie wrestling too. I love all wrestling, which is
same,
which is why this show works so well.
I know, right?
You guys, what your question, comment, whatever, read on air, make sure to submit a super chat. We'll read all of those as we work through. It was a week in wrestling. I thought, you know, last week we had a lot to talk about. This week, some really exciting things are happening. And dare I say, wrestling is back. Wrestling is cool again.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. We were just mentioning, it is not a coincidence that we start the show and the coolest shit is happening in wrestling.
It isn't. We manifested it. We did this for all of you. Who are
exactly. Exactly.
Welcome. I always think about how the last like 15 years or so, people who don't watch wrestling have talked about wrestling as this joke. It's for kids, blah, blah, blah. But now I see a lot of people who don't watch wrestling sharing WWE clips, sharing AEW clips, like what wrestling is cool. Like, people who I don't even know, people just
know
on the internet, and it comes up on like my Twitter for you or my TikTok for you or what have you. I'm like, yes, wrestling is cool again. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah, thank you.
But also thank you for noticing.
Do you have like non-wrestling friends like always sending you clips? And for the most part, we've seen all the clips.
Yes, I have a couple friends who one of them always sends me like Orange Cassidy clips. And they're like, this is wrestling. She's coming around. She's starting to really like it. But I did have quite a few friends, just friends that I have like from DC, like work friends, who sent me the Darby Allin glass spot.
Oh my God.
And they were like, what is going on in wrestling? Some of them who are like, lapsed fans who they were like, is this guy like the new Jeff Hardy? And I'm like, just watch it.
Just watch it. You'll see.
Yes. So I do have, I think that sometimes these like super jarring clips or like super interesting things of wrestling, they go viral and people know me as like their wrestling friend. And so I'm the one who has to explain it or, you know, they want me to react to it or whatever. So that's my role in the friend group, the wrestling.
Yeah. I'm definitely the wrestling friend. Definitely was sent the Darby Allin thing. And I was sent by the same friend. Oh my God, did you see that he broke his foot? He didn't break anything during the glass match, but he broke his foot. I was like, okay, it was a match afterward, you know, like it's fine, you know, he's fine. I mean, he doesn't have to climb Mount Everest. Who is after climb Mount Everest? I'm like, yeah, that's Darby Allin. I don't know.
He's just a weird dude. He's just a weird dude. I am kind of upset for him that he won't be able to climb Mount Everest. And it's kind of a heartbreaking thing where the match was such a good match and everybody was so excited for it. And then he breaks his foot and he's not only not climbing Mount Everest, he's out of wrestling.
Right. Which is the way you make money. So,
yeah. It's all.
Well, from what I know about people climbing mountains, because my dad climbed Mount Rainier and he had to do like elevation, like acclimation, like treatments or something. I don't know. He had to like go to, you know, this place in Seattle. Where like they would put you in like a like not like a hyperbolic chamber, but like kind of get your breathing to acclimate before you go to that height. And Everest is so much like so people die up there. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure people die on every mountain. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but the likelihood of you dying at Everest versus Mount Rainier is much different.
Yeah, and I saw some people saying, oh, well, it's not as dangerous as it used to be. He's going to be fine. People do it like a touristy thing. I don't think you guys realize that most of the tourists that are going up Mount Everest go a little bit of the way and have to turn around.
And then you turn around. Yeah.
Like being with a big group with an experienced tour guide doesn't increase your like physical personal ability to climb Mount Everest.
Exactly.
It's still super dangerous. It's just now you can be forced to turn around by your experienced tour guide.
Well, there was that video that went viral not too long ago of people who were climbing Mount Everest and they just see someone's body rolling down the hill. Like, but it's so far away from them that like they couldn't grab them and there's nothing you could do if someone is falling. Yeah. You just have to let it happen. You're not going to risk your life and everyone you're tethered to save someone who's falling. And that's like that kind of, that's the risk they're taking the moment that they go to Everest, which is, it blows my mind that like, oh, I could do this thing that challenges me and I could just not come back.
If anyone was going to succeed though, I think it's Darby. I had faith in him just because Darby Allin, even if he was this close to death, he would make it happen somehow.
He would just do it. Yeah. And
that's what makes him such a great wrestler, but it's also what makes him such a polarizing wrestler. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know how to read x-rays, but the broken foot looked pretty bad. Yeah. So I don't think Darby's going to be here for quite a while, which sucks. Because now he's out for injury and not because he was climbing Mount Everest.
Right.
But he'll be back and he'll be good. He'll come for Jay White. They'll have an epic rivalry. There'll be blood. There'll be violence. It'll be a good time.
Isn't that exactly what we want in wrestling, is violence?
Yes. Can I just say also, before we talk about Mercedes, I want to talk about Jay White for a second. Mm-hmm. Because I was so relieved that Jay White is actually still a bad guy. That he is still a jerk. That he is still all these things. And because the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, I wasn't against it. I thought it was something fun. It's whatever.
Yeah.
But with, some things Max Caster did and said and some other things, I was really starting to sour on the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. And so I'm glad that they finally pulled the trigger and they broke it up. We're going to do, maybe at Dynasty, we'll do the unification of the six-man belts. And I think Bullet Club Gold will win. And Jay White can go on to have the dream matches with Ospreay. And now Pac is back. And Okada is there. Mm-hmm. And we have the CMLL partnership where we can bring in luchadors. And we can really see Jay White be Jay White. Mm-hmm. And really see him show out. So I think Darby was a good first match for him to like come back as.
Yeah, revitalize himself.
He didn't go anywhere. But like resume his persona as this dangerous, maniacal, evil man. And I'm so happy.
I mean, that's the New Japan Jay White, right? Like the version of Jay White that I fell in love with was the one that was tossed the Bullet Club shirt at the end. And he turns and he does a switchblade. And he's like, fuck this. I'm not into this. I'm going to go my own way. And that's the kind of like the double turn. That's like, oh my God. Oh my God. This is happening. Oh shit. Holy fuck. Ah. And you're rewatching it and rewatching it and rewatching it. And it's moments like that, that make wrestling so great. Mm-hmm. It makes anyone excited about wrestling. So
sometimes I go back and I watch, little baby Jay White in New Japan, a little young lion, and he's, baby faced. He's like no facial hair. He's so teeny tiny. And I think about how much he did in New Japan, how much he accomplished in such a short span of time. And I really think that as much as Ospreay gets, a lot of it is due to him, all this praise, all this kind of stuff. I think Jay White debuting in AEW felt like a big deal, but they didn't have a direction for him. And I think now they can really reset and move forward with Jay White as a singles guy. I mean, he can be in the six man, the trios division, whatever it's going to end up being, whether they do it in Ring of Honor or they keep it in AEW, I don't know. But I think that he can really move forward and be a game changer for them. And the Kenny Omega match is still there. The Adam Cole match is still there. Yep. You know, we have matches with every member of Adam Cole's faction. We have Roddy, we have Taven and Bennett and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot that they can do with him. So I'm excited about Jay White. I think Darby's really the guy they throw at people who they want to reset. Because mm-hmm. it really does feel like Darby's always in that spot.
I mean, it's also the thing of, okay, you know, you have your line of defense. You have your pillars, so to speak, right? So we know that our next pillars that were brought to us during the, you know, MJF era was Darby, was Jack Perry, and Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara is going to be off television for a while. We have Darby off television for a while. So, and Jack Perry is doing cool ass shit right now in New Japan. So rising up these new pillars, right?
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, I think that this AEW roster is not only the strongest AEW roster. I think it's one of the strongest rosters ever. I think.
Absolutely.
And that's not including Kenny Omega, who's out with injury, or MJF, right, who's out. And all these other, I mean, Darby out with injury, all these other people. And also, mm-hmm. I think the women's roster is mm-hmm. on the rise. I'm looking forward to next Friday. I think it was announced for next Friday. It might be the Friday after. The women's street fight with Willow and Chris and Julia and Sky Blue. And I think Mercedes being there, she's going to do, I'm anticipating her first match will be against Serena. But mm-hmm. she's going to have incredible promos, and she's going to really shine on TV and do all those things. Tony is still doing great work. Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo are,
oh my gosh, they're going to be tag teaming, like,
but like they're antagonistic. Like they, there's a promo on Collision last night where Deonna was talking about, well, Tony Storm tapped out, and if it wasn't for, you know, Luther and her little buddy, I would be women's world champion. And Thunder Rosa was like, wait, the championship that I never lost.
Exactly.
So that rivalry is getting going. Britt Baker is lurking in the shadows. Jamie Hayter is lurking in the shadows.
I can't wait for her to come back.
I know. I'm hoping it's soon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't know the timeline on her injury because I try not to care that much about people's personal medical lives. But I'm hoping she's back for All In too. Hopefully before. I would love to see her back for Forbidden Door. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we could just segue into the Mercedes debut.
Yes.
So Mercedes, it was basically anticipated that she was going to debut. She was going to, you know, be in AEW. But it was the timeline of when and where. And so then AEW announces this show. Everybody is like, okay, it's big business. It's in Boston. It's Mercedes. It was Mercedes. She comes out. Theme song, a banger.
Oh my gosh.
So good.
So adding the flavor of, what is it? The Fourth Symphony? I can't remember. I wrote it down. And then whatever the symphony is.
Yeah.
So good.
The CEO chants.
So yeah.
Good. So good. And she looked like a million bucks. Like, thank you. She's beautiful. She, her gear was nice. She had AEW, you know, painted into her hair. She just came out. She looked so super cool. The crowd was chanting CEO. It felt like a big moment. It felt,
yeah.
I mean, the obvious comparison is the CM Punk debut. But I mean, this felt like, as a woman, this felt like and an enjoyer of women's wrestling, this felt like a big deal, a really big deal. Because this is their first, I don't want to say their first, you know, free agent signing on the women's division. That's a big deal. But this is definitely like next caliber, especially because she's like, she's in the anime world. She's in, you know, that space doing, you know, acting and Star Wars Marvel and all that, Marvel and all that stuff. Yeah. So she's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. She is. And the, I mean, posing pictures with, you know, celebrities and, you know, rappers and singers and being across multiple, you know, different facets of entertainment, so to speak. Right. So,
yeah.
Yeah, she's in Star Wars. I think she's going to be in a Marvel film. I think that's what was the whatever it's called. Rumors. I don't know.
Yeah.
The page six, that here you have like an actual star that is current, that people who aren't wrestling fans know that they're wrestling, you know, and they're wanting to tune in. And I think, you know, Sasha Banks leaving WWE, it's not like she didn't pull out banger matches. Hello. Her and Charlotte's entire feud during that time leading up to Hell in a Cell, absolutely incredible. Had no idea that it could get better than that. Right?
Yeah.
And you know, you mentioned that, like, this kind of big moment, right? Starting the show with Mercedes coming in. There was no match. There was no run-in. There was no prelude to this. It was immediately starting the show and knowing that women's wrestling, it was 10 years ago, you know, 2 weeks ago, that the hashtag Give Divas a Chance came on because they had that really short match with AJ Lee, Paige, and the Bellas, right? Where they were, their time was cut down, cut down, cut down. And they were like, well, let's just go out there, do a finisher, and end it right there. And knowing that, like, 10 years is not a long time.
No.
A lot of stuff has happened in the last 10 years. But in that amount of time, we've seen women main eventing shows and new shows and pay-per-views and headlining things, being the main face, being the star, and not being just seen as sex objects, not just seen as eye candy or the butt of the joke. Because there was a huge period of time where a woman having a temper tantrum was a butt of a joke. And to see this woman who's saying, I just want to make wrestling better, I want all these matches. And knowing that Tony definitely probably paid her handsomely. I know that there are reports out there. I'm not going to believe them. But she definitely is, like, her stock price definitely has gone up. She's done all these things and said, look at this return on investment. Hello, the Shop AW website was down for 24 hours because so many people wanted to buy her merch. And that's exactly what happened with CM Punk. So I'm not saying that they are the same. I'm just saying the fact that it's a woman and she's being taken seriously. I was sobbing the moment the moment Dynamite happened, because that she really is like a generational talent. She is unmatched.
Yeah. And so one thing that also really intrigued me about her debut in AEW was this promo she cut. She said some, you know, very typical, I'm excited to be in AEW, that kind of stuff. But she also said that AEW was the only place where this could be a global women's revolution.
Right.
And with Forbidden Door only a few months away, I'm really excited to see if there is, you know, Stardom inclusion in that, if there is CMLL inclusion, and what Mercedes does.
Absolutely.
Because there's tons of matches in AEW that we want to see her in. I mean, the AEW women's roster is incredible. Mm-hmm. But because of the injury that she had against Willow, there's a lot in Japan that she hasn't done yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really excited to see how AEW has her full time, which I'm assuming she's going to be full time, but yeah. also the stuff in Japan and where it plays out and when. And I think that Mercedes is uniquely positioned to be like an in-ring workhorse, to be that mm-hmm. kind of high caliber star, you know, put on the five-star mm-hmm. matches, do that kind of stuff, while also being the ambassador from AEW to a place like Stardom or to women's wrestling in Japan. And I think that they also have someone like that in Toni Storm.
So, yeah, absolutely.
So they're really, I think, putting pieces in place to have these Jon Moxley, Kenny Omega type figures that can carry that relationship with Japanese promotions. And the women's division AEW has always kind of been excluded from these partnerships that AEW has formed.
Right. And
I don't think it's intentional. I think it's just like the way things
it happens.
Out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there was really no women's crossover with Impact, which is now TNA. There's been really no crossover with New Japan. I mean, some New Japan Strong, but I'm really excited to see how these two, Mercedes and Toni specifically, I mean, other people, but these two specifically, how they can foster this relationship. I think Mercedes, I think you really do have to push her to the women's title as soon as you can. I don't mm-hmm. know if, I mean, Toni is still feuding with Deonna, so I don't know when this would happen, when it would shake out. But to me, I think Mercedes as champion and what she can do in that position is so, so important more broadly, not just for the success of the AEW women's division, but like for the success of this global interconnectedness of women's wrestling. Yeah, Mercedes and Toni Storm. I don't know if they wrestled in WWE. I have been out of the WWE loop for quite a while. Mm-hmm. But I do know that if AEW does that match, it'll be leaps and bounds above what they probably could have done in their places in WWE.
Right.
Mercedes Moné as TBS champion. My only thing about that is I do think that the TBS championship as sort of I hate the word developmental, but like a platform for up and rising stars to get to a place for them to sit before they start moving up the card.
Right.
I think that's a better use for the TBS championship than putting it on main event stars and then kind of letting them flounder for the you know, lack of a better word. So I think Julia's fine in that spot. I think Willow and Chris Statlander, one of the two of them should be the next TBS champion.
Absolutely. I think it'd be great for Willow because then it could start, you know, not that I'm saying that she shouldn't have a, you know, a friendship with, you know, Chris Statlander, but there is that conflict that's going on. So that's the thing with the TBS and the TNT championship. It's not that they are secondary titles. The reason you have those TV titles is so that you have a fighting champion on television week after week after week. Not saying that there can't be world champion matches on your television shows, but that is your big, big moment, right? Those are few and far between because that is the top of the top, right? Mm-hmm. So when you have a fighting champion, right? So we saw like Cody Rhodes during the pandemic just had these open challenge after open challenge. And we saw Ricky Starks come in. We saw Eddie Kingston come in. We saw, you know, all these great feuds, great, you know, people coming in and out, in and out. And that's kind of what I see the TBS championship should be. The yeah. TBS championship, when Jade held the title, was meant to make her look strong, like a fucking badass. And yeah, it was, you know, and you know, enhancement talent here or small feuds here, but it is a title that is supposed to go, okay, we have a wrestler, we want to make them look like a wrecking force, right? We want to bring them up against everything that we have to offer. And I think that that would be truly a Willow type of belt. Not that we, you know, haven't seen Willow in the last, you know, year and a half, just be dominant, dominant, dominant. But I think her as champion could change some of her character. I don't want to heal Willow yet. make no mistake. But I think that it would be really imperative to the development of Willow's, you know, character and adding some depth, put in some highlights, put some balayage on it, put some, you know, glitter and sparkles. And I think we have an undeniable champion. Yes, Corey, to mention, there are a lot of dogs in this house. So,
but we don't mind special guests. We love them here.
We have them. So,
but yeah, I do agree. I think the issue with the TBS, not so much the TNT title for whatever reason, but I think people see the TBS title as low. It's like the way it is in WWE. Like there's a Raw Women's Champion and a SmackDown Women's Champion, mm-hmm. but it's not the case in AEW. And I don't want it to just be like TBS title is lesser, because I think it's a great ride and it's a great show of like the promotion has faith in you. They're giving you this title because you're mm-hmm. on the track to be this megastar. But I think the issue with if you give Mercedes the TBS title, then anybody who challenges her for that TBS title, you kind of, it has to be people who are rising stars. Like if it's someone like Britt Baker, for example, like you'd have to do a lot of maneuvering to explain why Britt Baker is not going back for her women's world title.
Right.
Or Jamie Hayter or something like that.
Right.
And I think, not that Mercedes as TBS champion would be a bad thing, because I think it would be a great thing. But I think that anybody who then holds it after her is going to be held to that same standard as you are world champion caliber. And that's kind of what the TNT title fell into, where Cody had this great run. Brody Lee had a great run. And then the champions after that, I mean, there was Sammy Guevara shenanigans and all that mm-hmm. interim champion nonsense. But it's just now the TNT title is recovering, because it was this kind of like, if you're not perfect, you don't deserve to be a champion. That's like what fans were feeling. And you can't do that. You can't expect every champion in your promotion to be at the same level in every respect as your world champion. You just can't do it. And I do think that in the men's side, at least, I think AEW could do with fewer mm-hmm. titles. There's so many. But that's a topic for another show. But Mercedes, I think that you could do a lot of, you could do the Serena match. You could do a Riho match. You can mm-hmm. get her to a place where she can show out in the ring. Mm-hmm. You can finish up, while that's happening, you can finish up Tony and Deonna. Whatever the outcome is of that, I'm fine with it, because Mercedes versus Deonna, Mercedes versus Tony, great matches, both of them. Yeah. I think Deonna should be the move, and then you could do Tony versus Mariah May.
I'm into it.
Deonna and Mercedes.
Yeah, love that.
And you're good.
I mean, I like old school stuff, don't get me wrong, but it's one of those things that, like, if you watched Bret Hart, right? There was a point in time when he lost his main championship and then went after the Intercontinental Championship. And at that time in wrestling, looking back in retrospect, if it's like all of a sudden the Intercontinental Championship became more important than the main championship, right? And I'm not saying that I agree with you. I'm not saying that, like, I don't want the TBS championship to be equal. It's just if Mercedes goes after the TBS championship, regardless of what she does, it seems more important than your main title.
Yeah.
Which is not what you want. You want your, you know, undisputed world heavyweight or world championship to be your top tier. It is the better looking belt out of all of them. It is the prize of the prize. That is the top tier elevation. And I want them to be equal. I want them to be just as important, but your television titles are your workhorse titles.
Yes.
Your main championships are your prized fighter matches. You don't have your prized fighter fighting week after week after week after week. You are, okay, give me your best, and then I will give you the best. You prove yourself to be better than all these people week after week after week. Then you face the final boss, right?
Yeah. So how I would have it shake out, because Ace in the chat says Deonna to be TBS champ. I think Deonna becomes world champ. I think Deonna beats Tony. I think then Mercedes goes for Deonna. And while that is happening, I think Willow becomes TBS champion. I think Willow gets dethroned by heel Chris Statlander. Willow moves up to the world title picture to challenge Mercedes. That's what I think. That's like, and then like on the outside of that, you can have Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker. You could do some number one contenders. What do they call it in AEW? I don't even remember. Title contenders. you can have, you know, Tony and Mariah on the outside, a non-title feud, a blood feud. You can have Julia and Sky Blue doing witchy stuff. Like, you can have depth to this, and you can use the TBS title as a tool to get Willow where she needs to be.
Absolutely.
Challenge Mercedes. I don't think you need to put Mercedes in the TBS title picture for her to challenge Willow. I think Willow should be in the world title picture, because I think that's better for Willow and better for Mercedes. So,
and it's better for business.
Period.
Make that money.
Question. What about Athena if she is dethroned by Sheeta at Supercard of Honor? I think Athena should beat Sheeta. But I don't think that means that Athena should be continuously hidden.
Right.
In Ring of Honor. Not that being in Ring of Honor is like a downgrade, or like some of the best stuff in wrestling ever has happened behind a paywall. But I think Athena has been, by a pretty significant margin, the best women's wrestler in the AEW Ring of Honor universe. And I think that Athena, a surprise appearance on AEW television, before the pay-per-view, after the pay-per-view, whenever they want to do it, I think that gets fans really excited. And I think that she could challenge anyone on that roster, and it would be incredible if she puts the Ring of Honor title on the line and we do something like that. That's what I would do, because I think Athena coming in to AEW as champ has more credence to it than Athena coming in recently dethroned by Sheeta and coming into AEW. That's absolutely. I mean, that's just how I would do it. I'm sure it would work either way, because she's Athena and she can do whatever she wants, and I will accept it.
Like, Sheeta is a three-time main women's champion.
Yeah.
She has all these different accolades. She is like signed off by Kenny Omega. So to think that she could go into Ring of Honor, where Athena has been holding the entire division together with glue. We, you know, I talk about this on our Ring of Honor post show, but Eddie Kingston made his return to ROH television after 10 weeks. That is your main ROH title holder. We have not seen our tag team champions on television in 8 weeks. I think 8 weeks. If I get any of these stats wrong, you can tell me in the comments and tell me whatever. Kyle K. Sparks is my stat guy. But you have all these, you know, your TV champion for ROH has been out with visa issues. We have Yuta, who has been backstage during Ring of Honor tapings. We haven't seen him in months, right? So to think that the only champion that we've seen on Ring of Honor is Athena, it's a crime that she has not been premiered more on AEW, because she signed with AEW. She's not just a Ring of Honor wrestler. So there are a lot of holes, and I talk about this on our post show, where they're just missing the mark. I think that someone else needs to be reminding Tony, you have this show called Ring of Honor. You need to, you need to spotlight them. Like,
yeah.
You need to remind people and pay them off for watching your show.
Ring of Honor's in this weird space where it's like, it's not quite developmental for AEW, but it's also not quite its own standalone thing. And I'm not sure, you know, how Tony approaches the Ring of Honor AEW relationship, like how he envisions it. But I do think that someone who is the caliber of Athena, who has done the work that Athena has and really carried the ROH flag, while other guys, men from ROH, like Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe, have gone on to AWTV and had great matches and done all that kind of stuff. So I think that she deserves to be on the Dynasty card with a great opponent and a great match. I think that you could do Athena versus Thunder Rosa. You could do Athena versus anyone, really, and it would be a great match. And it'll showcase Athena, because I think that the end goal should be, if it isn't, to get Athena AW full-time, because she's that kind of person who you could give her an opponent and she'll get the best out of them. She's very much like Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson in that way, where it doesn't matter what the style of the match is. It doesn't matter how old the opponent is, their ability level, their experience, whatever, like the match is going to be good. And I think that AEW has not done enough to really capitalize on that with Athena, because they don't really have a lot of women's wrestlers who can do that and be in that role. So I personally, I don't know why she's not on AWTV. I don't have the answers for all of
you. I don't have the answers.
if it was a simple explanation, it would make sense. But I think Athena versus Mercedes should be in the pipeline. I don't know. I don't know if you do a champion versus champion exhibition for funsies. I don't know. I mean, I would do it for funsies. Why not? I don't know if Athena loses the title and then goes after the women's world title. I don't know. But AEW does show this year that they really do appreciate and kind of want to go back to these random dream matches for fun, like Shibata Danielson, which we'll talk about. And Athena Mercedes is a random dream match that would be great fun. And you could still make both of them, regardless of who wins and who loses, they come out looking better.
Absolutely. So
that's what I would do.
Oh, we are 40 minutes in and we've only gone through.
We love women's wrestling. I don't know if you guys noticed. But let's talk Shibata Danielson. Let's just move down the line.
Where's the storyline?
What's the story, Tony? It's funny because in the tweet that Tony put out, the story is there. It's that Shibata is taking revenge against the BCC. Like, the story was there. You just didn't read the tweet, I guess. I don't know. But Shibata Danielson was excellent. This was, and technical wrestling kind of gets the criticism that it's boring. If I wanted to watch it, I'd watch UFC, blah, 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 blah. This was excellent. I loved every second of this match.
I made all of my friends last night watch wrestling. So, like, you know, where we are, you know, there are about 15 of us. And I thought it was too late for, you know, it's too late for karaoke. It's too late to do this. Let's turn on some wrestling. Chill out. That match had everyone going, oh my God. Oh my God. Why is he, what is he doing? And that's what we need, right? Yes. So you have two men who were not supposed to wrestle again, right? Shibata had his brain removed from his head, right?
Yes.
Which is insane. I'm not a medical doctor. I don't know how to do those things. I don't understand the nuance of that. But I think if a doctor had to remove my brain because I was doing too many headbutts, I'd go, maybe I got to try something else. So he's a little psycho, right? Where, like, Danielson literally, like, retired, came back, still had some issues. He's had his eye thing going on. He's had some, you know, head stuff. He had his arm in a sling at one point because he got it broken during a match that he still wrestled. These guys are not full in the head, right? Mm-hmm. So to see these two go, okay, I want your best. I want you to give me everything that you had. I am not going to hold back, because you know that they didn't hold back on those punches, those shots, those kicks. Oh, they look stiff. And that was one thing that, you know, I was mentioning to some of my friends, is like, these two men, they don't want a half-ass match. They want your best. And if they notice that you're not giving their best, it's like freaking Dragon Ball Z, where Frieza gets a couple Kamehamehas, comes up from the rubble, blood dripping down Frieza's mouth, and goes, Is that all you got? And they keep fighting for like 20 episodes. But it's that thing of like, oh, you're holding back when you're punching. I'm just going to sit here and you're kick me. Kick me. Punch me. Make me feel your anger so that I can use it against you.
It's so good.
Is there anything better in wrestling than violence?
No. And it's so the match started off like kind of slow, some grappling, like that kind of stuff. And it escalated fast. People in the chat are talking about it. Danielson was bruised. They were stiff. And Shibata himself, like, he wasn't coming out unscathed either.
No.
He was getting kicked. Like, the sound of Danielson kicking him in the chest, like, you could feel the echo in, like, his chest cavity. Like, and you could hear it. It was just the dull thud of a kick. It was so good. And I think, and I tweeted a little bit about this, and I saw other people saying the same kind of thing. Since Shibata's return, I think this is the most he's looked like old Shibata, like pre-injury Shibata. And I think Danielson is the perfect opponent for someone like Shibata, because neither of them can do anything all that crazy, if we're being honest. But when they look at what they can do, they pull something out like this, and it is hard strikes. It's, you know, to the chest, to the neck, all that kind of stuff. But it's also this psychology of Brian Danielson is the best technical wrestler ever. But here's Shibata, who also has a case for that same position. Mm-hmm. And he also does not want to be the guy who was severely injured like 5, 6, 7 years ago and has never been the same. The same way Danielson doesn't want to be that guy. And it's like they're both on the tail end of their career. Danielson is very open with, you know, he's, you know, phasing out. But it's like, don't forget about me. I am still an excellent wrestler and I can still be all this kind of stuff. And I think if you're a casual fan, I hate the word casual fan because it means you don't care. But if you're like, you know, a for funsies AEW or wrestling watcher, you can get out of this was an extreme match. It was hard hitting. Both guys look completely dead by the end of it. But if you're a hardcore fan, you're a sicko.
Yeah. You got paid off definitely for it. I mean, for those who were the casual, some people, you know, knew who, you know, Brian Danielson or Dan O'Brien, people like that does transcend more than just wrestling. A lot of people know the Yes Chants. Like, there was that period of time that it was more mainstream, so people seeing this guy that they remember as being a little bit more polished, a little bit, you know, still the same, but now he's gone a little bit crazy, got a little bit mad. He's doing risks and things that it's like, are you sure about that, man? Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? So you only do that when you really want to win, right?
This match was, and also you brought up the Yes Chant. And can I just say, I'm so glad that he's embracing the Yes Chant. You know, I'll talk to my sister about this, because come all in, the whole, imagine that whole stadium doing the Yes Chant for Brian Danielson. We need it. And we need, okay, if you're watching this and you're not on board with the Yes Chant, forget about it. Get on board with the Yes Chant because you need it. I don't care. This is your responsibility. I don't care if you think it's dumb, silly, or stupid.
Yeah.
You're doing the Yes Chant.
Exactly.
You are going to be a sicko. You are going to do the Yes Chant. And you are going to like it. Because we need Wembley Stadium to do the Yes Chant. I don't know who Danielson is wrestling. It doesn't matter. He could wrestle a rock, and we're gonna do it. So that's what we're doing. You guys have a few months to get on board, so get on board.
Yeah.
But back to Shibata. This was a dream match, and I thought it was really funny that Tony just announced it randomly. He's like, "Yeah, actually, on Collision, we're gonna have a dream match that is decades in the making that people have talked about that you thought was never going to happen ever again." Because both these guys retired and it was going to be a major what if, blah, blah, blah. But now we're going to do it on Collision. Shibata's visa issues are settled. Danielson is on this epic run of dream matches and everything he's ever wanted to do as a wrestler. And they did it on Collision. And so they opened the show with it too. Oh, it opened the show. And it was only like 20 minutes or so. It was around there. But listen, Danielson, he did a promo later in the show. Destroyed. He had bruises, mm-hmm. like all up here and from the forearms and the slaps and all that stuff. This is like peak. Like, this is what AEW is really good for, is these mm-hmm. random entertaining matches that coincide, that happen right alongside some of your best stories in wrestling. Absolutely. And Collision was like, for me, that was the best encapsulation of like, here's everything AEW can offer you. And it's a wide variety of things. And you'll find something that you like. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that they were like, oh, Shibata can wrestle. Okay, we'll do it.
Okay.
Immediately.
Let's do that. I mean, because right before, you know, his match with Eddie Kingston at Revolution, is that he was just beating all of Eddie Kingston's heroes, right? So leading up to this, you have this sick man who's like, my opponent, I'm going to wrestle all your heroes and I'm going to win. Which to me is like, okay, you sick fuck. He loses. He loses to Eddie Kingston. So not only do you have this madman who just went and was like, I'm going to beat all of your heroes. And then all of a sudden he gets beat and he's like, well, what the fuck? So it's not like he has to prove himself, but I feel like he's like this, whatever is happening with the, you know, BCC, they're coming a little unhinged, right? We saw Claudio last night against Lance Archer, which when they came on the screen, everyone was like, oh, we love some meat. And I was like, yeah, it's meaty men slapping meat. We've seen, we just saw Lance Archer on Ring of Honor be completely dominant coming into this match with Claudio. And Claudio was swinging Lance Archer.
Insane.
And they were neck and neck here and they got the freaking match DQ'd, which it's like, this is only going to set off the BCC more.
Yes.
Right?
I'm really in love with this BCC where it's not, I did love the stuff where they're like, we're training together and we're like, of an MMA team.
Yeah.
I liked it, but I think that all three, I mean, Yuta as well, to some extent, but especially mm-hmm. Claudio Mox and Danielson, they do their best work when they're being absolutely destructive. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have someone like Claudio, who was so physically strong and intimidating, I mean, mm-hmm. his personality aside, I mean, he's a goofball and everybody knows that. He plays video games. But he, when he is at his best, is when he is just being terrifying. Right. And he's up against Lance Archer, who is bigger than him. I mean, Claudio is kind of, he's leaner. He's like, you know, looks a little bit smaller. He's taller, but he's not as physically imposing as Lance Archer. And he's standing toe-to-toe with him and swinging him and going strike for strike with him. And that was a really great match. And I think that, like, AEW has done a lot of these recently, doing matches that feel maybe a little bit random. Like, there's a story there, but it's a little bit random. But it's the outcome that is the important storytelling element. So Claudio versus Lance Archer was also announced last minute. But I think Lance Archer being on TV is a good thing because I think Lance Archer, I think they have plans for him for this year. And mm-hmm. I think Claudio and this broader BCC story they're telling, I think that was great. I don't know like what the plans are for them for the BCC, whether it's going against Bullet Club Gold for the sixth man, which I would like to see. Yeah. But more matches with Claudio being Claudio, I think as a singles guy is super, super important. And I also, to talk more about Collision, which this is just turning into a Collision review.
Yeah.
I thought it was really fun to have open the show with Shibata Danielson, two technical wrestling legends, two wrestling legends, period. Mm-hmm. In the middle, you have Julia Hart versus Trisha Dora, a showcase of two up-and-coming women's wrestling stars mm-hmm. doing a very different style. I mean, Julia has started to incorporate a lot of that submission grappling stuff in her repertoire, but mm-hmm. very different from what we just saw, to go straight into Lee Moriarty and Daniel Garcia, two young technical wrestlers, very much shades of Shibata Danielson.
Yeah.
very much so, intentionally so. Mm-hmm. And they looked incredible doing it. It speaks a lot that you could put that match, a technical match, on the show with something like Shibata Danielson, and it doesn't feel like a parody or an imitation. It feels
exactly
like a standalone thing. That to me was just beautiful. And that's what AEW does best. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
And I mean, to piggyback, you know, if we're going to be briefly talking about Collision, like the pacing of the show last night was like, it feels like AEW is back to doing the cool shit that it needs to do. Right. So, yeah. And ending it with, you know, the tournament match of, you know, the infantry, like getting the win, moving on.
Shocking.
I know. I mean, Mark Briscoe did interfere, but it's like, that makes me excited because, I mean, what's going on in Ring of Honor, I think is pretty great, but it just echoes everything that, like, I've been wanting. Give me more.
Yes. I guess we could wrap up with Kyle O'Reilly.
Yes.
So Kyle O'Reilly, you know, he returns at AEW Revolution. He has his first match last night on Collision against Brian Keith, mm-hmm. who's another up-and-coming star that I really, really like.
So good.
And they looked so good. Kyle has still the same haircut. He looks tan. He looks healthy. He looks strong. And he showed out. He's another guy who I feel like is super versatile in the ring, where he's, you know, he does a lot of the technical wrestling, striking, grappling stuff. Mm-hmm. But he also, like, he's a little maniac in there.
Kyle O'Reilly is unhinged. Unhinged. Ooh. He's come back unhinged and ready to fight.
And I love it because I love what they're doing, because I said this last week, it would have been so easy to put him in the kingdom, the Undisputed Kingdom, and let mm-hmm. him sit there and get acclimated, you know, slowly and slowly warm him up and do the whole thing. But mm-hmm. they said no. We right. never thought Kyle O'Reilly was going to wrestle again. So Kyle O'Reilly is going to wrestle, and he's going to wrestle excellently, and he's mm-hmm. going to do it on his own, and he's going to be a star. And that's what they're doing. And I love it. I think that there's so much they can do with Kyle O'Reilly, almost to the point where it's like, I don't know what I want more.
Yeah.
Obviously the Roddy match, like that's probably, you know, the best place to go. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I look at everybody who's come to AEW since Kyle's been out, or has like risen in the ranks in AEW since he's been out. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God. Kyle O'Reilly, there's so many matches on the table, and they would all be excellent. And I think he's in this genuine story where he's like, I never thought I was going to wrestle again. I thought that I had lost this. So I'm mm-hmm. going to be my authentic self and have fun and, you know, find my individual identity outside mm-hmm. of Adam Cole, outside of Roddy. And poor Bobby Fish, who's not here, being part of the story. I'm so excited. And this match was also great. I don't want to like overshadow, you know,
right
with all this, but it's like Kyle O'Reilly. They have like so much potential there. They really do have a diamond in this mm-hmm. return story. I don't know. I would love if he just went all the way to Danielson, and then we did Danielson, Kyle O'Reilly at some point.
I'm dead.
At Dynasty, so of course. Good. But like, I don't know what the plans are, guys. I really don't. But I think that Kyle O'Reilly, international champion, a DNT champion, whatever plans you have for him,
yeah,
he's going to everything. Really excel.
I also want to note that, you know, with Kyle O'Reilly being gone for 2 years, there was no ring rust. He didn't seem like he lost a step. It didn't seem like he forgot anything. It was a very good Kyle O'Reilly match. It was very, I mean, let's not put, you know, Brian Keith in the enhancement talent, you know, category. We know that Danielson said after he had his match with Brian Keith was, holy fuck, that guy can go. Yes. Right? So he has the best of the best saying, this guy is really fucking good. So why not have him against Kyle O'Reilly on his return back into the ring? A guy who can fucking go, who is rising. And you have Kyle O'Reilly going, okay, am I jumping on this train or am I not? Have you ever played Double Dutch?
Yes.
Sometimes when you go through Double Dutch and you have one person going, they jump out and you have another person coming in and it loses the flow, right?
Yes.
It's awkward. It takes a little 100%. Bit of time to get back into the swing of things. But it seems so seamless how Kyle just went back into the style in which he was wrestling, and it didn't miss a step. It didn't feel yep. awkward. And to take 2 years off of something to just jump right back into the swing of things, and it just made me more excited to be like, okay, it's only going to get better from here. You're only going to have more elevated matches as we go along. So I think that wrestling fans are in for a real treat with Kyle, because yes. he lived in Adam Cole's shadow for way too long.
Yeah. And I think they really are somewhat, at least, or maybe it's my imagination, playing on the NXT Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole feud. I think there's shades of that in here. And I think it's really, really hard to have someone who is a genuine babyface, in the sense that, like, I root for Kyle O'Reilly, the wrestler character, but I also root for Kyle O'Reilly as, like, the person behind the character. And Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, was the same way. A real, like, white hot babyface. I'm rooting for Daniel Bryan, the wrestler, but I'm also rooting for the human being. Adam Page was the same way. So it's like, it's really, really hard to manufacture these kind of baby faces. Like, that mm-hmm. has to be organic. It has to be. And they have, like, lightning in a bottle with Kyle O'Reilly, because he also has the in-ring and the promo work to back it up. He's not just a guy who, like, we like because he's a good dude and he almost ended his career. Like, he is so talented and so great. And so the sky's the limit for him. And, like, I don't know that much about, like, his medical situation or, like, his, you know, the longevity of his career, what he's capable of, or anything like that, because I'm not a doctor, and also I'm not his doctor, so I don't want to on that.
Yeah.
But I think that they really do have, like, something so, so, so special. And I'm just like, so grateful that he was able to have this opportunity and this run. Whoever his doctor is, shout out to you. Man, like, we really needed it. And I think it's interesting that he's having this comeback while mm-hmm. Bryan Danielson is having, like, a wind down.
I know.
Situation. These parallel stories. And I think culminating in that, you know, that feud.
Passing the baton. Yeah.
Yeah. I maybe not All In, because I don't know what Danielson is doing at All In. I don't know what Kyle O'Reilly's doing at All In. But mm-hmm. like, main event of, like, Fall Out or something the week after. That's a really great match. And I would do it, especially since Danielson's, like, dead set he doesn't want to be world champion.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, bud.
Well, like, in this show, just in this, you know, Wrestling Made Me Cry podcast, we have started booking Dynasty. We have started booking what we think will be at Forbidden Door, right, with Mercedes. Yes. We've already started talking about booking things at All In. Now we're starting to talk about things that we're booking with All Out. That's what you're supposed to do in wrestling.
Yes.
Is starting to book the things. And now we're seeing things play out. We are having storyline pages filled in. We are having matches and dreams of, you know, debuts that are happening. You have Okada and Eddie Kingston this next week. We have everything that Will Ospreay is doing. We have all the matches that we want Mercedes to do. If you take a little trip down to Ring of Honor, we're seeing all the things that Athena has been doing. You know, even, it's been weeks, but Ethan Page is yes. gunning up for that TV title. He's going to take it away from Kyle Fletcher. That's the story that is being told. But behind him, We have Josh Woods coming through. We have all these other wrestlers that are coming up. We have all of this talent. And I'm just ready for that harvest when it comes.
I'm so excited because the summer for AEW is always great. Mm-hmm. Because you have Forbidden Door, you know, All Out, all that kind of stuff. But I think it's even more special this time because I think this year is proving to be AEW's sort of comeback, their bounce back from a bad year, not a bad year last year, a rough year. It was a difficult mm-hmm. year. And I also think that they're in a space now where guys who are older, you know, like Chris Jericho, especially Chris Jericho, maybe, they can kind of fade to the back. And there's enough people there, enough genuine stars to take that spot. And I'm so excited for the future. I've like never been this optimistic about AEW since 2021, I would say.
Yeah.
And this definitely feels like 2021 in a lot of ways, but with better wrestling, like up and down the card, just mm-hmm. better. And there's no Kenny Omega. There's no Adam Cole. There's no.
Yeah.
And somehow like the show still pops off. It's still excellent. And when those people come back and they're able to wrestle, it's going to be even better. That's mm-hmm. what I keep saying. It's like, especially the Elite story, when Kenny Omega comes back, that is going to be, and Hangman. I forgot about Hangman. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
We are rambling. We need to wrap this up. if you want to share your final thoughts and your plugs for your stuff.
My final thoughts is wrestling is good again. It is great again. It is worth your while. If you don't understand the storyline, it's okay. You can say that. And if people bully you online because you're going, I don't understand the context of this, you tag your Auntie Collins and tag Kylie and be like, I was just asking a question because we love questions. That's how we learn. Because you can't know everything in wrestling. But I will say, always be open-minded and always be willing to learn something, but just know it's just getting better from here.
Yes.
I'm plugging my items. Yes. Oh, I'm at Queer Auntie anywhere on Twitter, on Instagram and TikTok. While that still exists. I have a show on Thursdays, over at OLE, our local establishment podcast. They're always in my link tree. So if you follow me on the Twitter, you can just click that and you clicked our latest episode. You can click this latest episode, like, share, and subscribe this video. It just pushes it out to the algorithm. So more people like you can enjoy our content.
My final thought is, Gus the Beagle says Omega and Hangman versus the Bucks, please. That's my final thought. I think that, and I think, I mean, Omega Okada 5, Omega mm-hmm. Osprey, Omega Pack. Like, there's an endless slew of dream matches. And, like, that's what I think my conclusion is that AEW is excellent now. But if you think about it, there's so many rematches and first-time dream matches in the pipeline that mm-hmm. it's, like, it's I can't even fathom it. Like, this roster is just so excellent. It is just incredible. Mm-hmm. But you can follow me on Twitter at Kylie Wrestling. I'll talk about wrestling. And also, I talk about, like, other stuff, and it's a good time. So follow me on Twitter, and you can also watch Wrestling Made Me Cry. This is only our second episode ever.
I can't believe it. It feels like we've been doing this for years.
Yeah, it just feels like we're just a well-oiled machine. And I love that. But you can watch this show every Sunday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. That is our time difference. Keep 5 in the UK, you know, 8 or 11 Central, all that kind of stuff here on Fightful Overbooked. Subscribe to Fightful Overbooked and go watch the other shows on Fightful Overbooked. There's FMC, there's Coexisting. There are so many great shows on this channel. Mm-hmm. We are the workhorses here on Fightful Overbooked. We do a lot. So subscribe, like this video. If you're watching this after we go live, hi, welcome to Wrestling Made Me Cry. I'll read the comments. Comment below. Your thoughts on Mercedes, Shibata, I don't know. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll hear you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ace says FMC. I love FMC. I love Jeremy.
I love Jeremy.
If you're old Tag Talk lore, they stole our Tag Talk background, which is still, it's immortalized here in StreamYard. It's still here. Maybe one day we'll whip it out for funsies.
Yeah.
But thank you guys so much for joining us. It was a great time. And thank you for sticking it out. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.